Welcome to Stewart & Kissel's Market Moments, where we interview various personnel in the investment management industry. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking to our colleague, Chris Carlson, counsel in the investment management group at Stewart & Kissel, located in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
It's been about a year since we last spoke about the developments in the ETF space. Firms are returning to their offices, and COVID seems to be receding somewhat compared to this time last year. Let's get up to speed on ETFs. What recent developments have you seen occurring in the ETF industry?
Well, there have been three major developments that have occurred in the ETF industry recently. The first one is mutual funds have been successfully converted into ETFs by a number of different fund sponsors. There have also been significant amendments to the exemptive relief that semi-transparent ETFs have received that follow a proxy portfolio model. And there have also been significant regulatory developments regarding the use of cryptocurrencies in ETFs.
Mm-hmm. How many sponsors, let's talk about conversions for a moment. How many sponsors have converted, say, mutual funds to ETFs recently?
So far, at least three fund sponsors have converted mutual funds to ETFs. Mm-hmm. Guinness Atkinson, Adaptive Investments, and Dimensional Fund Advisors. Guinness Atkinson was the first fund sponsor out of the gate to convert their mutual funds to ETFs, and that occurred in March of this year. And they were followed by Adaptive Investments converting one of their funds into an ETF in May, and Dimensional Fund Advisors converted four of their tax-managed mutual funds into ETFs in June, mm-hmm. and they plan to make additional conversions in September later this year.
So it sounds like there's a trend building for these types of conversions. So how would you go about converting a fund, for example, to an ETF?
Sure. Well, essentially, there are two options to convert a mutual fund into an ETF. One option is a direct conversion, where the mutual fund would modify its organizational documents, registration statement, and service provider agreements, mm-hmm. contemplate ETF operations. And the other option is a reorganization, where a new shell ETF is created that already has an existing registration statement and organizational documents and service provider agreements that already contemplate ETF operations. Significantly, in either case, for this conversion to be successful, a fund sponsor would want the mutual fund's performance to be included in the ETF's prospectus. Mm-hmm. And for this reason, the ETF would have materially the same investment objectives, strategies, policies, and restrictions as the fund.
Have you seen other types of funds that have converted to ETFs outside of, say, a mutual funds?
Yes, there's been an example. At least one private fund has converted into an ETF. Mm-hmm. That ETF is the Upholdings Compound Kings ETF, and that was launched at the end of last year, and it was converted from a private fund advised by Upholdings Group LLC. In theory, there's no reason why a private fund could convert into an ETF. Private funds have converted to mutual funds in the past. But obviously, there are additional considerations to think about, such as liquidity constraints that need to be considered in the ETF structure.
And I would imagine, given the trend here, that you're expecting more of these types of conversions, both private and mutual fund to ETF.
Yes, I would say that this trend should accelerate significantly in the months and years ahead. Now that a trail has been blazed, so to speak, by Guinness Atkinson, and they've showed that it's possible to successfully port over the performance of a mutual fund into an ETF, the tax advantages and tradability of an ETF structure makes it an attractive option for a mutual fund sponsor that wants to find additional ways to distribute its strategy in a registered fund format. Mm-hmm. And for this reason, we have available an outline of considerations and issues for any sponsor that wants to convert a mutual fund into an ETF, either directly or in a reorganization format, that also has a list of steps to follow that we're happy to provide upon request.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we change gears a little bit, still in ETFs, but let's talk about semi-transparent ETFs. Can you give us a little background on those?
Sure. Well, essentially, a semi-transparent ETF is an ETF that doesn't disclose its full portfolio holdings, and instead, it discloses alternative information about its portfolio. This can either be in the form of a proxy portfolio of securities that are expected to be highly correlated with the securities in the ETF's portfolio, or a verified intraday indicative value, which is essentially a real-time update of its NAV, which is distributed every second throughout the trading day. So those two models, one is a proxy portfolio model and one is a blind trust model, those are available for fund sponsors that may want to pursue an ETF structure, but do not want to, may find issues with full portfolio transparency. It should be noted that with a proxy portfolio ETF, there is more a limited ability to take advantage of the tax advantages that ETFs have because their proxy portfolio is also used as the creation and redemption basket, and that may have limited overlap with the ETF's actual portfolio.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, semi-transparent ETFs are probably a much better option for kind of an active manager, if you will.
Yes, I would say so. If they are concerned about their strategy being copied or traders potentially coming in front of them and taking away opportunities, a semi-transparent ETF structure could be a viable alternative.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's been some developments with respect to the semi-transparent ETFs recently. Can you hit some highlights of those for us?
Sure. Yeah, there are the fund sponsors that sponsor semi-transparent ETFs that follow the proxy portfolio model have all amended their exemptive applications to permit the ability to use custom baskets. So that allows them to substitute securities that are in the ETF's portfolio in the creation and redemption basket. And this flexibility gives them basically puts them on a level playing field of traditional ETFs that can rely on Rule 6c-11. But obviously, with this new flexibility, if you are going to include the actual securities in ETF's portfolio in their creation and redemption basket, the advisor needs to manage the risk of front-running or free-running on the strategy.
Mm-hmm. So what is significant about the semi-transparent ETF's ability to use the custom basket?
It's significant because it mitigates the tax disadvantage I spoke about before. So a proxy portfolio ETF can substitute a security with realized gains from its actual portfolio in the redemption basket and include that with the other securities and redeem that out to an AP without incurring the tax consequences of having that security leave the portfolio in the case of a sale.
Let's again switch gears here for a moment. Digital assets and cryptocurrencies and ETFs. What's the outlook for the SEC's treatment and the use of cryptocurrencies, for example, in ETFs?
Sure. Well, I would say the SEC staff has followed a cautiously optimistic approach. So the Division of Investment Management previously signaled that they were willing to work with sponsors that want to invest in cryptocurrencies and digital assets and other different ways of getting exposure to those types of assets, for example, through the use of Bitcoin futures. Recently, the SEC staff has signaled that it believes that Bitcoin futures can be used in a mutual fund consistent with regulatory requirements, such as those concerning custody and valuation. But the staff does recommend that ETF sponsors reach out to the staff and consult with them before including cryptocurrencies or digital assets in its investment strategy. And I would also say generally that the SEC is also focused on fraud and manipulation and unregulated cryptocurrency exchanges. So no regulatory developments have been announced on that front, but how the SEC approaches those issues may inform how they approach issues with respect to funds and ETFs involving digital assets.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for now, but thank you for joining us today on Market Moments. We really appreciate it, Chris.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.